Scripture reading today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Thus ends today's reading.
Thank you, Karen. Well, this sermon this morning is somewhat personal. And I say that because I wrote the sermon this week that I needed to hear. So I'm hoping that you'll allow me to publicly sort out some of my thoughts on the topic of being called by God. This is a safe place for us to ask tough questions and for us to ponder on some of those answers. So stick with me as I sort this out in front of you. Now, David just sang a song about God calling us. Maybe from everyday occurrences, you hear something on the television, in the news, and you think, I could do something about that. Maybe that's God calling me. Maybe it's a car horn you hear and you think, I remember that a friend of mine is not well and they got hit by a car, and maybe that's God calling me to pick up the phone. Something inside of you pings, your internal faith compass. Here's God, and you stop and you respond. Now, I don't know about you, but I get these kind of little nudges all the time. Something happens during the week, and my heart and my mind feel like it's a tug from the Holy Spirit, calling me to do something, say something, pick up the phone, to do something that 2 minutes ago I had no thought of. But now, all of a sudden, the action makes perfect sense. I have the words, I have the energy, I have the means to do whatever it is that suddenly zinged into my brain. Kind of a disembodied call, for lack of a better word, that arrives through ordinary living. But our story today that Karen read said, God called Samuel by name. There wasn't anything subtle about it. He's sleeping near the ark. The lamp hasn't gone out yet. And God calls Samuel by name. And God did it again because Samuel didn't answer. And he did it again because Samuel didn't answer. And finally, we're told God stood there and called Samuel by name. So here's my trouble. I'm not sure God has a voice. If God does have a voice, though, and it's calling my name, what am I supposed to do? Now, throughout the course of human history, God has been portrayed as typically a man, powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent. And if God is all of that, why does God need to call a little boy? Or why does God need to call me? You know, we all like to hear our name called. Like I said to the girls, that our names were chosen carefully by our parents. And most of the time when our names are called, it's a good thing. But there are times when I hear my name called at work over the intercom, Danny Veenstra, call 140, and I know I'm in trouble. That's the general manager's extension, and if he's calling me, I don't want to answer. But I have to. I have to respond. It's part of my job. I have to do whatever he wants me to do. And our scripture this week is about God calling Samuel into a new life, calling Samuel to do something that maybe Samuel didn't necessarily want to do either. But God was calling Samuel to begin a new kind of leadership for Israel, something that was going to be a change from the dim-eyed priest that we heard about, who held an important position of leadership. And Eli had two sons who were also priests in the temple. But these two sons had gotten out of control. They were taking the best part of the sacrificial meat that was being brought to offer to God. And before it was even offered, they were taking the best part for themselves. And this was a big deal. And Eli let him get away. And God was angry about that. So because these two sons had mistreated this sacrifice, and Eli is letting them do it, God is going to take away Eli's right to rule, and he's going to end the dynasty. Priests, their sons were priests, their sons' sons were priests, and it just passed on down. Well, because they'd committed this grievous act of disrespect, God said, that's it. I'm done with you. We need a new kind of leadership. So God called Samuel by name. He chose Samuel, a young boy who'd been brought to the temple by his mother at a very early age. And she presented him to Eli and said, he's going to serve the Lord all of his days.
God needed a leader.
God needed someone was going to follow God's voice. Somebody who was going to listen and heed when God called. God called Samuel to be more than he was, to do extraordinary things. And God calls us to do the same, to be more than we already are. In the Interpreter's Bible Reflections on this passage, Bruce Birch says, the call to Samuel is to a prophetic task. This text reminds us of the spiritual challenges and social transformations that God's call brings. We are urged not only to discern God's voice, but to listen for what it asks of us as well. We are called to become the channel for God's prophetic word today in our own time. Now in the next verses, right after what Karen read, God tells Samuel that he's going to destroy Eli's leadership. Samuel doesn't want to deliver this message. God's asking him to do a hard thing. But the next morning when Eli said, tell me, what did God say to you in the night? And Eli's probably thinking, boy, this is going to be great. And Samuel's got bad news. He said, I'm sorry, Eli. Your two sons are going to be killed in battle, and the end of your priesthood is going to happen. And sure enough, it came to pass.
Eli's two
sons were killed the same day in a battle, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured. And when that message was brought to Eli, he fell off his chair and died. God's word came to pass. So this lovely story we have about God calling this little boy in the night, has pretty nasty consequences. And maybe sometimes when we hear God calling, we think, oh, maybe there's some hard consequences for me in this call as well. God may be asking us to do a big thing. When we hear the tug of the wind of the Spirit or a story on the nightly news, we might not want to answer, and we certainly might not want to tell someone, I heard God talking to me. That might sound just a little crazy. But when God calls us, we need to also remember from our call to worship, which is from Psalm 139, that in the call, God is with us. We are hemmed in, behind, and before, and God has laid God's hand on us. We're called in the first days of our lives, from before we're born, when we're knit together in our mother's womb, and we're called in the last days to commune with God in God's presence forever. And this week, God called one of our own. When Bill Bryan was called from his singing of Elvira and his life of activity, God called Bill by name to embrace Bill into the presence of God with Clarice forever. Our God is with us from the beginning to the end. So I think we're all called to something, but then we're given the means to answer the call. Our story tells us after this that God continued to appear in Shiloh to help Samuel with the work. Samuel continued to serve God and God's people, and God is going to be with us in our responses as well. So my puzzlement at the beginning of the sermon, does God have a voice? My answer would be yes. Is God going to call me in the middle of the night? I don't know. Is God going to say my name? I don't know. But some of those calls may sound like this. It could be a fellow church member asking you to serve on a committee. It could be a whisper in the wind asking you to recycle and take care of the environment. It could be a roar of indignation over the injustice and how people are marginalized and mistreated in our own towns and on the streets. It could be the cry of a hurting heart simply asking for solace, a sob of grief asking for a listening ear, a nudge to say the hard words that God is asking you to say, encouraging someone to turn toward God. So yes, I think God does call. Out of a need for faithful followers of Jesus, God calls us. And if that's the call you hear, then follow. God calls out of a need for leaders. And if that's the call you hear, then lead. God calls out of a need for comfort, and that's your gift, perhaps. And if that's the call you hear, then provide comfort. Because God does call us out of a need for wisdom spoken in truth and in love. Sometimes we need to speak boldly. God needs and calls for brave hearts to stand up for the oppressed and the marginalized. And if this is the call you hear, then stand up. The voice may or may not be human-like. It might be in the wind. It might be in a news story on your television. But yes, I do believe God does have a voice. Listen up. God is calling your name. Be ready to say, speak, for your servant is listening. Be ready to respond with all you are, known by name, beloved child of God. And may it be so.